Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and today I'm going to be giving you an update on UK financial reporting. I'm going to look at four topics. The first one is current reporting requirements for organisations in the United Kingdom. Secondly, I'm going to look at UK GAAP. I'm going to give you an overview and look at the key changes. Thirdly, I'm going to look at international GAAP and look at some recent changes. And lastly, I'm going to have a quick look at the financial reporting standard for smaller entities. Okay, so the current reporting requirements for organisations in the United Kingdom. First of all, who uses international financial reporting standards? Well, international financial reporting standards are used by the following organisations. First of all, companies quoted on the UK Stock Exchange. That's companies with a full listing on the UK Stock Exchange. Secondly, companies quoted on the alternative investment market, the AIM, as it's known. Thirdly, local authorities are using IFRS from 2010, so from the year beginning 1st of April 2010. Fourthly, all other public sector organisations have actually been using IFRS from their year commencing in 2009, so they started a year earlier than the local authorities. And lastly, there are voluntary users, organisations that use IFRS voluntarily. Who uses UK GAAP then? Well, any other organisation not on the previous list who hasn't decided to use the financial reporting standard for smaller entities. Remember, the FRISI, as it's known, is available for companies defined as small in the Companies Act. And if those small companies wish to, they can use the FRISI. Anyone else who doesn't use the FRISI and who wasn't on the list of IFRS users, uses UK GAAP. The latest news on financial reporting in the UK is that the Accounting Standards Board is considering whether to adopt the International Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. And it published a paper on this back in August 2009. The consultation period ended in February this year, and the ASB is going to publish its recommendations later this year. The proposal that was published in 2009, which the ASB is going to publish its comments on later this year, was as follows. The proposal, and I must stress this is only a proposal, was that IFRS would be used by AIM and fully quoted stock exchange companies. So that's the same as at present. IFRS would also be used for other publicly accountable organisations. That's full IFRS for other publicly accountable organisations. And that would include organisations like investment trusts and building societies that aren't quoted on the AIM or the stock exchange. The next tier of companies would use the International Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. So non-publicly accountable companies would use the International FRISI, the International Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. And lastly, companies that qualified as small, as at present, would use the UK Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. So that's four blocks of organisations. The first two using IFRS, that's the quoted and AIM companies and the other publicly accountable bodies. The third block using the International FRISI, and the fourth block, that's for small companies in the UK, using the UK FRISI. So we have a big block of companies in that third tier who would use this International Financial Reporting Standard for smaller entities. That is a proposal, and we await to see what the recommendations of the Accounting Standards Board are following their consultation period. And as I say, those will be published later this year. Okay, our next section, I'm going to look at UK GAAP changes. And this will be a short section because there haven't been many changes to UK GAAP. UK GAAP is in a period where, as you will appreciate from what we've just said, it may actually fall out of existence. We may not use UK GAAP going forward if the proposals I've just outlined do actually come into effect. So a couple of changes then. First of all, on accounts and audit, all businesses, except those that qualify as small, must submit a business review in the director's report. And if you're a listed company, that review needs to include the main trends and factors likely to affect the future development, performance, and position of the company's business. So businesses are now expected to have an enhanced director's report that includes a business review. That's all companies, excluding small companies, have to do that. The other main change is that the filing periods for your statutory accounts have been reduced by a month. So for private companies, they have 9 months after their year end to file their accounts with Companies House. And for public companies, they have 6 months to file with Companies House. On the accounting standards side, there's been very little movement on UK standards. There has been an FRS published on heritage assets, so that's a very limited application. It would apply to organisations that own ancient monuments, for example. The ASB also proposed changes to three other standards recently: SAP 25 on segmental reporting, Financial Reporting Standard 8 on related parties, and Financial Reporting Standard 29 on financial instrument disclosures. Three exposure drafts were published on those standards, and the comment period for them ends in August 2010. Most of the changes were minor administrative changes to those standards. Our next section looks at international GAAP and recent changes to international standards. So we're looking at the major changes to international financial reporting standards. And remember, on this section, the list of organisations that use international financial reporting standards. That would be companies quoted on the stock exchange with a full quotation on the stock exchange, a full listing, companies quoted on the alternative investment market, and the public sector, and then any other users of IFRS who do so voluntarily. So those are the organisations that these standards apply to. I've got four areas that I'm going to look at. First of all, interest capitalisation. Secondly, leases. Thirdly, financial instruments. And fourthly, presentation of financial statements. So those are the four areas we're going to have a look at. And we'll start that with interest capitalisation. This is dealt with in International Standard number 23. The UK equivalent, by the way, is Financial Reporting Standard number 15. And basically, the international rules have changed so that organisations now must capitalise interest on fixed assets. So they must capitalise interest on fixed, or as the international standards call them, non-current assets. So the scenario where you're capitalising interest is where you buy a fixed asset or non-current asset, and it takes time for you to bring that asset into use. Any interest that is accruing on the cost of the asset over the period it's taking you to bring that asset into use needs to be capitalised. And that means that that interest is debited to the cost of the fixed asset rather than being debited to the profit and loss account. And then when the asset gets depreciated, of course, that interest that's being capitalised is part of the cost of the asset that's going to be depreciated over its useful life. In the UK, by the way, we have a choice over whether we capitalise interest in this scenario or not, and that choice remains. Secondly, we're going to look at leases, and the reason for looking at leases is there is a proposal out from the International Accounting Standards Board that all leases should be capitalised. It's an extremely contentious issue when an organisation takes on a lease, whether that lease is a finance lease or operating lease. And the accounting standards authorities have been almost fighting for years to get organisations to capitalise leases that truly are finance leases. And organisations have resisted and chosen not to capitalise leases wherever possible because it keeps that borrowing off their balance sheet. So the International Accounting Standards Board are considering abolishing the idea of an operating lease. And that will mean that effectively all leases will be capitalised. Short leases, which would have previously been operating leases, will be capitalised at the present value of the future lease payments. Market value wouldn't be an acceptable approximation there. So that is a proposal only. It's an exposure draft. We'll have to see what happens with that. But the proposal is that all leases should be capitalised. Thirdly, there are proposals on financial instruments, and there are some quite radical proposals on financial instruments. The proposals are to do with International Accounting Standard number 39 on the measurement of financial instruments. It includes measurement and also hedging rules as well. There is a new International Financial Reporting Standard out here, IFRS 9, and further changes will be coming out later this year and possibly early next year on financial instruments. Fourthly, we're going to look at reporting financial performance. And under this heading, there's two topics. First of all, there's a change to the way financial statements are presented. And secondly, there are changes, probably less importantly, actually, there are changes on segmental reporting. So changes on the presentation of financial statements. International Accounting Standard number 1 has been changed to allow companies a choice over how they present their results for the year. Companies can either do what UK companies do at present, which is show their profit and loss account and their statement of changes in reserves as two separate statements. So that's a profit and loss account, or income statement, as they call it under international standards, and a statement of movement on reserves separately. Or they can produce what's called a comprehensive statement of income, which will show the profit and loss account and the statement of movements on reserves combined as one large comprehensive income statement, which will start with revenue for the year and which will end with the total gains and losses for the period. In the UK, as I mentioned, we still have to show a profit and loss account plus a statement of total recognised gains and losses separately as two separate statements. They can be on the same page, but they're two separate statements. The international standard, just to recap, does allow companies, if they wish, to produce those two statements as one combined statement of comprehensive income. Secondly, there are changes to segmental reporting. Under international standards, IFRS 8, the standard requires organisations to report externally the segmental information that is shown internally to their chief operating decision maker. So basically, international companies following international standards have to report the same segmental information externally in their published accounts that is presented internally to their chief operating decision maker, which will usually be their chief executive. In the UK, by the way, we're still following the old SAP, SAP 25, which has a fairly rigid objective list of segmental information that you have to prepare. The international standard is now much more subjective, so that each organisation, as I say, reports externally in its published accounts the same information that is reported internally to its chief operating decision maker. Okay, lastly, in this update section, I'm just going to have a look at the financial reporting standard for smaller entities, which has been recently updated. It was updated in 2008, so 2 years ago now, and it was updated for changes to the Companies Act 2006. Having said it was updated, there have been very few changes to the FRISI. It still applies to small companies. It still simplifies accounting for the companies who use it. It still allows the preparer to use this one simplified accounting standard that deals with all aspects of financial reporting for small companies. It still uses the traditional UK accounting formats for the balance sheet and the profit and loss account. It still includes the traditional layout of the balance sheet and profit and loss account. And it still uses traditional language, UK language, such as turnover and fixed assets. It hasn't switched to adopting the international language using things like revenue, non-current assets, and so on. It also, interestingly, still refers to prudence and talks about prudence and how important prudence is, even though our own UK standard FRS 18 no longer refers to prudence as a fundamental accounting concept. So basically, the FRISI has been updated, but it remains essentially the same as it was before. So the FRISI, just to recap, was updated in 2008, but in most respects, it still looks the same. It's still a basic one-stop shop where UK companies that qualify as small, if they choose to, they can use this standard, and it gives them a simple run through of all the accounting requirements and disclosures that they need to produce a true and fair set of accounts. Okay, that's the end of our update on UK reporting. Thank you for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle. Bye-bye.